The nation's two largest retail pharmacy chains will begin dispensing the drug mifepristone, which can be used in a medication abortion. A growing number of physicians are employed by private equity groups, according to a new study. And a CMS report outlines a drop in quality measure performance at hospitals during the first 2 years of the pandemic. It's Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson, and this is Gist Healthcare Daily, where you get the headlines and health business and policy news in 10 minutes or less. The two largest retail pharmacy chains in the United States will begin filling prescriptions for mifepristone, the first pill used in a medication abortion. CVS and Walgreens both received certification from the Food and Drug Administration last week to dispense the drug, and both plan to fill prescriptions in a handful of states beginning this month. Walgreens said it will dispense mifepristone at select stores in five states: New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, California, and Illinois. CVS said it will begin dispensing the pills at pharmacies in Massachusetts and Rhode Island in the coming weeks, and will expand to additional states where abortion is legal on a rolling basis. The move follows a regulatory change instituted by the FDA through a final rule issued in January 2023 that loosened restrictions on which organizations are authorized to administer mifepristone. Previously, it could only be dispensed by specially certified physicians or clinics or through a small number of mail-order pharmacies. Under the new rule, patients are able to obtain mifepristone through any pharmacy that both agrees to accept the prescriptions and meets certain requirements to dispense the medication in brick-and-mortar locations. President Biden said in a statement on Friday that the FDA's approval marks an important milestone in ensuring access to the medication amid ongoing challenges to reproductive rights in the United States. He also encouraged all pharmacies that want to pursue this option to seek certification. Mifepristone is the first step in a medication abortion and is used in tandem with another drug, misoprostol, to either end a pregnancy or manage a miscarriage. Together, the two-pill regimen is commonly referred to as the abortion pill. Medication abortions account for 54% of abortions in the United States. There have been a number of legal challenges to mifepristone in the wake of the Supreme Court's 2022 ruling in the Dobbs v. Jackson case that overturned the long-standing Roe v. Wade decision. One case was brought by the Alliance Defending Freedom and alleges that the FDA did not properly review the safety risks of mifepristone back when it approved the drug in 2000. After conflicting rulings regarding access to the drug, the Supreme Court announced in December that it would review a lower court's decision. It's slated to hear that case on March 26th and issue a ruling by the end of its current term, which is this summer. The number of physicians employed by private equity is growing, according to a new report published this week in Health Affairs. Researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and the Federal Trade Commission looked at the rate at which private equity groups acquired physician groups between January 2012 and December 2021, using data from the Irving Levin Associates Healthcare M&A Database and PitchBook Private Equity and Merger and Acquisition Databases. The data was supplemented by other groups, including news outlets, press releases, and industry reports. The researchers selected 10 office-based physician specialties that are the most frequently acquired by PE firms to study. These include primary care, dermatology, gastroenterology, orthopedics, and cardiology. The researchers found that the number of private equity group acquisitions of physician practices increased from 2012 to 2018 and reached 175 acquisitions in 2018 across the 10 selected specialties. The number of practice purchases plateaued in 2019, which the researchers attributed to a decline in dermatology acquisitions. However, there was a significant jump in the number of acquisitions in 2021, which saw 317 acquisitions across the 10 specialties observed. That was more than 84% higher compared to 2020. Of the nearly 1,100 acquisitions in these 10 specialties for the entire study period, dermatology practices were the most commonly acquired by PE firms. The researchers also found that in some markets, a single private equity firm controlled a majority of one or more specialties across 50 markets. They also found that nearly half of all PE acquisitions in the 10 specialties examined occurred in the South. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced drops in hospital care quality and equity measure performance in a report published last week, largely due to challenges caused by the pandemic. CMS's National Impact Assessment, published every 3 years, provides an analysis of the agency's quality and value-based incentive payment programs. Its previously published 2021 report, which included pre-pandemic data from the 2016 through 2019 performance years, found that health systems and post-acute providers showed improvement or stability on 88% of CMS individual quality measures. However, this latest 2024 report, which reviewed data from the 2020 and 2021 performance years, shows that most health systems were unable to sustain that higher level of performance through the pandemic. Instead, performance dropped across 47% of CMS's individual quality measures in 2021. In the 2021 performance year, health systems scored worse on at least half of their related measures in the wellness and prevention, behavioral health, safety, chronic conditions, and seamless care coordination categories. Infection control efforts also saw a decline. Compared to pre-pandemic levels, central line-associated bloodstream infection rates were around 94% worse. Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus infections were nearly 55% worse, and catheter-associated urinary tract infections were nearly 34% worse. CMS also reported sizable health equity gaps in 2021. Compared to their white counterparts, comparison groups fared worse on 89% of affordability and efficiency measures and 78% worse on chronic conditions measures. The most sizable disparities were among African American patients for affordability and efficiency measures and Alaska Natives or American Indian patients for chronic conditions measures. While health systems and post-acute facilities were under immense pressure in 2020 and 2021, particularly due to the influx of high acuity patients and staffing shortages, CMS said that these findings show the need for provider organizations to refocus on their quality improvement efforts. Josie Suddeth from the GIST team at Kauffman Hall contributed to this story. This has been GIST Healthcare Daily from Kauffman Hall. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other listeners find the podcast. You can check out more insights on healthcare business and policy news at gisthealthcare.com. You can also get these insights emailed directly to your inbox when you subscribe to our newsletter, The GIST Weekly.